Our processional hymn this morning is Voices United number 563, Jesus, You Have Come to the Lakeshore. 563. My favorite. That's all I can say. Shall we do it again? No. Welcome to our service this morning. I am Fran Pepper, in case you didn't know. This is Andrea Pepper, in case you didn't know. And we are doing the service this morning. as we're filling in for Reverend Allen as he's away, and I think there's two more Sundays yet. One more Sunday, and Rhonda is doing next Sunday, and then Reverend Allen will be back. Let me introduce Boya Zhang. She was here last week, so in case you weren't here. Boya is a grade 12 student at Nelson, and she is 16 years old and has been studying piano for 11 years. She is now at the highest level at the Royal Conservatory of Music. So thank you, Boya. She's here while Ian is away. So Ian will be back next week. Please take your bulletin home and read through the announcements. Does anyone have announcements for today for us? Also, Evelyn has asked for the Vacation Bible class. She needs 40 soup-sized cans. Now, it's kind of hard to have soup this time of year, but if you have any cans around a soup size, if you could bring to church for Vacation Bible class, cans, she could really, really use them. You can also speak to Evelyn at the end of the service about it. Okay.
We have little candle, Lord. Maybe. And in the stillness of its flame, we glimpse your light. We have lit a candle, Lord, and within its warmth, we sense your love. We have lit a candle, Lord, and in the stillness of this moment, we bring our prayers to you.
Acknowledging God's presence. Let us now acknowledge God's presence among us. Dear Lord, open our ears
to hear your word.
Dear Lord, open our eyes
to see your presence.
Dear Lord, open our arms
to embrace your beauty.
Dear Lord, open our minds
to the beauty of truth.
Dear Lord, open our hearts
to the joy of.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I welcome you to worship. It is a delight to be together in the house of God. We lift our voices with joyful hearts.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
May the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now in this hour and always.
Amen.
Our next hymn is Voices United number 357, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. 357.
Children stood round his knee and
Now for the assurance of God's never-ending love. Holy God, in the daily round from sunrise to sunset, remind us again of your holy presence hovering near us and in us. Free us from shame and self-doubt. Help us to see you in the moment-by-moment possibilities to live honestly, to act courageously, and to speak from your wisdom. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today, the stories of Jesus, taken from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 7, 17 to 27, 38 to 44. The death of Lazarus. This comes from the Good News Bible and can be found on page 140 in the New Testament. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sisters sent Jesus a message, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask for him for." "Your brother will rise to life," Jesus told her. "I know," she replied, "that he will rise to life on this last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? Take the stone away." Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listened to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said that, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes and with a cloth around his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." Here ends our reading.
Our dramatic reading this morning includes Martha, Mary, Jesus, Lazarus, the follower, and the woman. As we heard in this morning's reading from John, the story of Jesus resurrecting Lazarus was to bring glory to God through Jesus. Through an adaptation of the chapter Martha, the Brokenhearted, from the book Jesus and His Friends by Karen Kingsley. We'd like you to hear the story from the perspective of those most affected by what happened to Lazarus. Martha wasn't easily given to panic, but this was different. Her little brother Lazarus was sick. So sick, the house was beginning to smell of death. Martha should know. She and her sister Mary worked every day with dying people. This smell now hung near the bed of young Lazarus.
Lazarus. Lazarus. Lazarus, how do you feel? Dear brother, please talk to me.
Martha touched her hand to his forehead. He was burning up. His skin was uncomfortably hot to touch.
Lazarus, I'm here. I won't leave you.
Martha and her sister Mary took turns now, so that one of them was always at his side. Lazarus was only 16, strong and handsome. He was one of the kindest young men in the village. Until he came down with a fever a week ago, Lazarus spent every day helping others. This brought a sweet memory to Martha's mind about when they first came to Bethany. It was the day Lazarus first started helping the sick.
Are you sure you want to do this? They need help at the farms too.
I'm sure. I've prayed about it. Our family has suffered so much because of sickness. I will do what I can to make a difference for others in the village.
Both Mary and Martha's husbands had died from the illness that plagued Bethany. Usually when people in Jerusalem grew ill, they sent them to Bethany. This is what happened to Mary and Martha's spouses. The men had died a few years ago, within a week of each other. Now Mary, Martha, and Lazarus spent their days caring for the sick in Bethany. Both sisters were concerned when Lazarus wanted to make a life out of helping people here. But Mary was more at peace with his decision. Even now, she was praying in the next room, believing somehow that their brother would be healed. Martha was more realistic. Lazarus wasn't getting better. He was dying.
Good morning, Martha. I want to sit with him too. Lazarus, we love you. God is going to make everything better for you.
You are not alone, Lazarus. We're here.
We need to pray. Also, I have an idea.
What's your idea?
Let's send for Jesus.
Mary, if Jesus is the Savior, then he knows about our brother.
Yes, but we haven't asked him to come.
What's the point? Lazarus may not have another hour.
Still, I'm sending for him. If he comes, our brother will get well.
Fine. Send for him.
After Mary left, it occurred to Martha that she doubted their friend Jesus. He had spent countless afternoons and evenings with them. He was fond of Lazarus, fond of the work the three of them were doing to help the sick. Martha absolutely believed Jesus was the Messiah until Lazarus grew ill. If Jesus was who he claimed to be, then why was her brother dying in the bed beside her? She felt terrible doubting Jesus, but the evidence before her eyes betrayed her former beliefs. Yes, he had performed miracles in their midst before, but where was he now?
Lazarus, hold on. Mary is sending for Jesus. Don't die. Please, don't die.
Lazarus was the brightest light in their lives. He never tired of doing good, and he tried to be like Jesus for the people of Bethany.
Lazarus, can you hear me? Mary, did you do it?
Yes, I sent word. Jesus will know of our request by tomorrow morning.
I pray he gets here quickly. You should go eat.
No, I'm fine. I want to be here.
It was only then that Martha noticed something different with Lazarus. His breathing was slower. A stillness had come over him.
He's worse. Mary, we're losing him.
No, he's getting better.
Martha couldn't believe what Mary was thinking. They worked alongside sick people long enough to know the signs.
Lazarus, wake up. We're here.
Lazarus?
No, God, not Lazarus. Please, don't take him. Lazarus, I love you. Please come back to us.
Both Mary and Martha were overcome with grief. Martha couldn't understand how this happened. If Jesus loved them so much, why wasn't he here? She had seen him perform so many miracles. Why wouldn't he have come when Lazarus first got sick? He should have healed Lazarus then. While Mary silently wept into her hands, Martha gently laid Lazarus on the bed and covered his body. Feeling suffocated by her grief and anger, Martha left the room and stepped outside the house. Friends had gathered there, and they looked to her with questioning eyes.
Yes, he's gone. Our dear brother is dead.
All of them began to wail and cry out. Several ran off to get others. Lazarus was dearly loved by the village. He would have had the very best funeral. People in Bethany would hear the loud mourning and know the importance of the one who died. His friends would see to it. The preparations happened quickly. Even before Martha had time to process what was going on, the body of Lazarus was carried down to the tomb on the edge of town. Martha fell dead inside. After several days, Martha found Mary praying at their table.
What are you praying for?
I'm asking for God's will. He's not finished with us, Martha.
Martha didn't say it out loud, but she had to wonder, what if God didn't exist at all? What if Jesus was just a nice man with special powers? Certainly if Jesus was a savior, then he would have come to their house and saved Lazarus. By now, Jesus would know about the request, and he still hadn't come. How could Mary still believe? Suddenly, Martha heard a loud knock on the door.
Open up.
What has happened? Is someone else sick?
Jesus is coming. He and his followers are almost here.
Thank you.
While in shock at the news, Martha turned to her sister.
Are you going?
To meet Jesus?
Yes. You heard them. He's entering the village.
No, I'll stay here. There's no rush.
Martha realized that Mary was right. There was no rush. Lazarus was already dead and lying in a sealed tomb. As she thought about it, a determination welled within her. She had to go meet Jesus. She had to look him in the eye and tell him that her brother was dead. She had to be there to put the question forward, spoken or not. What sort of friend didn't come right away? As Martha headed to the outskirts of Bethany, she saw the growing crowd first. Of course, there was always a crowd wherever Jesus was. Martha pushed and jostled her way past her fellow townspeople until finally, breathless, she stood face to face with Jesus. For a moment, their eyes met and held. The compassion in his expression brought an almost physical comfort. Even so, Martha was angry and heartbroken.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Martha could no longer sense the crowd, no longer hear cries for his attention. In all the world, there seemed to be only the two of them, and this strange sense of hope bound them together. Hope was filling inside her.
I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask.
Your brother will rise again.
I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come to the world.
Go, get Mary.
Martha turned and ran back to the house. Whatever was happening, Jesus was in control. She burst through the front door and found Mary where she had left her. This time, Mary wasn't alone. Many from the village had come to comfort her. The house fell quiet as Martha stepped inside. Her sister was crying harder than ever before. And if the reality of losing Lazarus was just hitting her.
The teacher is here. He is asking for you.
He asked for me?
Yes, hurry.
Do you think he might?
I'm not sure. I just know that he is the answer.
Mary and Martha made their way through the crowd to Jesus. Mary stepped closer, fell to the ground, and started weeping.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Mary buried her face in her hands and laid in a heap at the feet of Jesus. Her cries were heartbreaking, and around them many people wiped tears from their cheeks. The loss of Lazarus was one of the hardest their town had suffered. Now the aching, broken heart of Mary, the one that was always hopeful, always believing, only underlined the sorrow that consumed them all. Martha joined the others in looking to Jesus. How would he respond now? Surrounded by those so brokenhearted. Then something happened that Martha had never seen before. Jesus' eyes filled with tears. He looked overcome with sadness, the same as the town people of Bethany. Jesus blinked a few times and took a deep breath. He put his hand on Martha's shoulder.
Mary.
Yes, Lord.
Where have you laid him?
Come and see.
The crowd began moving towards the tomb where Lazarus was buried, but Jesus remained as if frozen in place. As he lifted his face to heaven, tears flooded his eyes and spilled onto his cheeks. He stood strong, his shoulders set. His body shook with sobs. Deep inside, Martha understood. He cared more than Martha ever imagined. He wasn't just busy and callous. He loved Lazarus like he loved Mary and Martha and all the people of Bethany. And this, the death of Lazarus, grieved Jesus in a way that had not been seen before. The pain and loss of death broke his heart. Jesus wiped his hands across his cheeks. His face became set with deep compassion.
Show me where he is.
Then Jesus followed them to the tomb of Lazarus, and the voice of authority, he said,
take the stone away.
But Lord, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God?
Martha nodded and turned to the men gathered there.
You heard him. Move the stone away.
After the slightest hesitation, 6 men hurried over and rolled the stone from the mouth of the tomb. Silence hung over the crowd. There was a sense of breathlessness and anticipation that overcame them. Jesus looked up and called out,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.
The crowd gasped, and no one said a word. Mary and Martha held on to each other. All eyes were on Jesus. He was staring at the open tomb.
Lazarus, come out.
1 minute became 2. The whole time Jesus looked at the tomb, Martha trembled, her knees weak. She felt lightheaded and dizzy. Could it really happen? Would they see their brother again? Suddenly a sound came out from inside the tomb and a figure appeared. Wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face, Lazarus had walked up a young person in good health. Jesus looked at Martha and smiled, the smile of their friend, the one they had spent so many meals and afternoons with.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Jesus?
Take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Mary and Martha ran to their brother. Moving as quickly as they could, they stripped away the cloth from his face and shoulders and immediately knew it was true.
Lazarus, dear brother, you're alive.
How do you feel?
Wonderful. What happened?
You're alive. Thank God, you're alive.
The crowd stood by in wonder, and Jesus approached them. For the longest time, he stood nearby where the 3 siblings clung to each other. It was more than Martha had dared to believe. But it happened right before her eyes. Her brother, who had been dead, was now alive. Jesus commanded death to flee, and death had obeyed. 2 days later, Martha was making dinner for the friends still gathered, still celebrating the life of Lazarus, when a few of the followers of Jesus came to her.
We want to tell you what happened after you sent for Jesus.
Mary sent for him. He took a long time coming. Tell me, what happened?
One of your friends came running up to Jesus. We all knew that whatever had happened, the situation was urgent. The person said, Lord, the one you love is sick.
Go on.
We all looked to Jesus. The messenger explained that Lazarus was dying, but Jesus did not waver. He didn't look worried. He simply said,
This sickness will not end in death.
He said that? Of course. He knew what was to come.
Yes. Jesus also said that your brother's sickness was for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
Martha felt a holy sense of wonder. God's Son. That was Jesus, of course. Everything that had happened with Lazarus was to bring glory to the God through Jesus, so that people know that Jesus had power over death, a power only God could have. It all made sense.
And so the Son is glorified. Did Jesus say anything else?
It wasn't so much what he said, but how he responded. We all know how much Jesus loves you and your family, yet he stayed where he was for 2 more days, healing the sick and teaching about the ways of the kingdom.
This was hard for Martha to hear, as those were the two most gut-wrenching days for her and Mary. Death had surrounded them and filled their home. Martha had felt as though she had died alongside Lazarus. All of this while they weren't sure if Jesus had even gotten word. Martha would forever remember the terrible pain of desperation and loneliness she felt then. And all the while, Jesus stayed away intentionally.
After 2 days, we follow Jesus back here. Some of the followers warned him that the people of Judea wanted to stone him. But Jesus was not afraid. He had a purpose, and he explained it to us, but in a way that we understood.
What did he say?
He said,
"Lazarus had fallen asleep, and I need to go to see if I can wake him up."
Asleep?
Yes, we figured that meant Lazarus was getting better. Sleep was good after all. But then Jesus spoke again, only this time he looked right at us and said,
"Lazarus is dead."
So he knew? He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He had known all the while.
Yes, exactly. Jesus said he was glad he hadn't been here in Bethany for one reason, so that all of us might believe.
This was for God, to bring glory to Jesus, to prove that Jesus is God with us, the one to come.
Right. I had to tell you so you'd know why he didn't come right away.
It was all part of his plan. Thank you.
Of course. There is one thing. Jesus is in trouble. We've heard from the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They want to arrest him. There's talk of him being executed.
What? Jesus is the healer. He is friend to all. Why would anyone want to kill him?
They don't believe him. They don't think he's the one of the prophets foretold. They are waiting for someone very different.
So they want to kill him? That's ridiculous.
I know. We all feel that way. Just pray. Pray as often as you can. Jesus will need our support.
I will. I'll tell Mary and Lazarus too. We'll stand by Jesus till the end.
The religious leaders have said that they may arrest anyone who harbors Jesus, anyone who cares for him or others, or offers him food and shelter. We're all at risk.
That's fine. Jesus showed us what it means to be a friend. We'll stay by him, whatever the cost.
I thought you would say that.
Yes, and thank you. You've brought much clarity to these recent days.
I need to go. Jesus is moving on from here, at least for a short time.
Okay. Could you tell Jesus something for me?
Certainly.
Tell him that Simon the leper is still looking forward to sharing dinner with him. When that happens, Mary, Lazarus, and I will be there also, no matter what risk is involved.
I will tell him. See you soon.
When the follower had left, Martha picked up her bread dough and began kneading it again. Then something occurred to Martha, something she'd never considered before. Somewhere deep inside, she must have doubted Jesus even before Lazarus grew ill. Otherwise, she wouldn't have abandoned her faith in him so quickly. Crisis had revealed her true feelings. When Jesus came along after her brother's death, and when he looked into her eyes and asked if he believed, she was forced to take a stand, forced to give an answer she would hold on to in good times and in bad. And in that awful moment when Lazarus buried in a tomb, Jesus looked straight into her soul. She had an answer. She believed in him. She would never doubt Jesus again. Jesus was their Savior and Master, but he also was their friend, and if anything happened to him, they would be there. They would weep the way Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. If the day came for grieving, they would grieve together, because that's what friends do. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is Voices United, number 341, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
We will now to God,
give to God
our tithes and offering.
We do need some volunteers with the collection plates.
1, 2, 3, 4, got it. Thank you.
Five 41 Voices United. For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, it occurs to us that our prayers are sometimes one-sided. So today our prayer is not only for the usual things we pray for, but also for the opposite things. We pray today not only for the sick, but for the well, lest pride rule happy hearts. We pray not only for the poor, but also for the rich, who find it so hard to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We pray not only for the troubled, but also for the favored ones, lest peace with the world be confused with the peace of God. We pray not only for the dying, but also for the living, since they face eternity as well. And finally, Lord, we pray not only for others, but also for ourselves, because salvation and righteousness begins at the household of God. Now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our closing hymn for today is Voices United 664, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 664. Please go out into the world with God's blessing.
We'll finish with.
And we'll sing It Only Takes a Spark.
To get a fire going and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's
everyone with a handshake or a hug, and let's go outside for lemonade. Yay! Thanks, everyone.
It's not that wrong.